Today we are going to be discussing from Lesson 13, the Feast of Tabernacles, Part 2 of the Bible study and the Bible correspondence course. And we begin today with question number 5, which asks, are we expected to travel to the Feast of Tabernacles, or as is referred to from the Hebrew Sukkot, the Feast of Booths? In Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 and 17, we read, three times a year all your males shall appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before Yahweh empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of Yahweh your Elohim, which he has given you. So here's the commandment that we are to travel to the feast, actually three times in the year. The most important would be the one at the Feast of Tabernacles, the end of the year. Yahweh has blessed us, and it is at these times that we give offerings to Yahweh for all the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. In Hosea chapter 12, verse 9, we read, but I am Yahweh your Elohim. Ever since the land of Egypt, I will again make you dwell in tents as in the days of the appointed feast. The traditional holidays here in the United States and across the world of Christmas, New Year's, Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, Valentine's Day, Halloween, and St. Patrick's Day are embedded into our culture. Christmas and New Year's are fostered not only by Christian churches modeled after the religion of the Roman Empire, but are even supported by state public education and governmental policy. There are national holidays that are in line with the Roman Church. The following is a continuing controversial question, which is offered only in a hypothetical sense. Could governmental support in the form of national holidays be an abridgment of the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, which reads in part, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof? I don't have the answer to that question, whether it's an abridgment of that amendment. What I do know is that these traditional holidays are at least 1,700 years old. They're non-biblical religious teachings about the Messiah of Israel. I also know that they are fun for children who expect toys, candy, and activities surrounding fantasy characters like Santa Claus, elves, and an egg-laying Easter bunny. And the question that the Bible study asks is, shouldn't we continue to honor these holidays for the sake of the children? Here are the real questions, which I've outlined here. Is truth, Yahweh's truth, important enough for this people, this nation, to be willing to endure family division, church debate, and state controversy, along with the loss and grief that would ensue, in order to achieve the restoration of a moral, righteous nation? Or are we just too unwilling to change? Have we become a nation grown comfortable with pleasurable distractions and philosophies, hiding from the real world behind the television set, social media, alcohol and drugs, sexual perversion, corporate rivalry, and even the nightly news and a fascination with sports? Is this the condition of our nation today? Well, let's look back into the ancient ways and read from Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. And he writes, everyone is dull-hearted, without knowledge, every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, For his molded image, an idol, is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. There's no life, no spirit in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment, they shall perish. And then he writes, the portion of Jacob Israel, the portion, the inheritance, is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. Yahweh of hosts is his name. Even in the times of Jeremiah, people were dull-hearted. They had no emotion. They had no feelings for Yahweh. In fact, they were idolaters. They worshiped things that brought them away from Yahweh. In Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 and 31, we read, when Yahweh your Elohim cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. After they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. Yahweh's saying to us through Moses, don't even ask about how these nations celebrate their holidays and have their feast days. Verse 31, you shall not worship Yahweh your Elohim in that way. For every abomination to Yahweh, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. This is a strong condemnation against anyone who takes up the ways of the nations to honor Yahweh. We are not to do that. That is a plague in our society and an abomination. Deuteronomy 12:32. Whatever I commanded you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, that which the word of Yahweh, nor take away from it. Leviticus 18, verses 1 through 5. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am Yahweh your Elohim. According to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwelt, you shall not do. And according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do. Nor shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. I am Yahweh. Again, these are strong admonitions that Yahweh is speaking to us about. We are to keep his ways. We are to follow in his judgments and statutes and ordinances. Though most people say keeping the feasts are Jewish, will even Egypt be expected to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the millennial reign of Yahshua? And we find the answer in Zechariah 14, verse 18, which reads, if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which Yahweh strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So it's not just Egypt, if they refuse to come up to Israel and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It's all nations who do not come up to Israel in the millennial time will not receive rain. If Egypt does go to the Feast of Tabernacles, can we all stay home during that and other appointed times? Well, I gave the answer to that already, but let's read in Isaiah 66, verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, in other words, every month, and from one Sabbath to another, that is, every week, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says Yahweh. Leviticus 26, verses 3 and 4. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Zechariah 14, verse 17. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, Yahweh of hosts, on them there will be no rain. One of the most neglected areas of the law of Yahweh today is keeping his feasts, as so many are caught up with the traditions that stem directly from paganism. History books are filled with information concerning ancient fertility rites and celebrations connected to the pagan zodiac calendar. So no one can honestly say that they were unaware of these things. We should also be aware of how the deceiver, Satan, works. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 11. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, I did it for your sakes in the presence of the Messiah, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, and I think that word speaks directly to witchcraft, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Yahweh deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Yahweh. So not only are we to keep the feast, but we are to commend to people, we are to teach the keeping of the feast of Yahweh to all men. And Paul goes on in verses 3 through 6 and writes, but even if our evangel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age, that would be Satan, the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the evangel of the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of Yahweh, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but the Messiah Yahshua, the Master, and ourselves your bondservants for Yahshua's sake. For it is the Elohim who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh in the face of Yahshua, the Messiah. So there are those whose conscience, whose awareness has been veiled, that they not see. And they are those who shun Yahweh. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren, by your brotherhood in the world. Satan himself has come up with false ways of worship that are actually counterfeit to the true ways of worship, influencing men to lead people away from biblical truth. And this truth is obvious when we take a look at the holidays of man. We could cite Christmas to New Year's is 8 days. It's the same a number of days as it is from the day of Passover to the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm sorry, the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then when we look at the Feast of Tabernacles, the first day to the last great day is 8 days. The same as Palm Sunday is to Easter. These are imitations. These are counterfeits. And it is mankind being influenced by Satan that has caused these days to be worshipped upon in false ways of to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. For such are false prophet, I'm sorry, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of the Messiah. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also disguise themselves as into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So Paul is warning us today of false apostles. And the word apostle is from the same root word as apostasy. It means to go out from. So apostles, true apostles, are those who go out into the world preaching the evangel of Yahweh, preaching his law and his ways. Apostles of unrighteousness, those who are of apostasy, are speaking out and teaching against the way of Yahweh. Okay, number six question from our biblical study. Is the book of the law, referring to the book of Deuteronomy, a type of constitution for the coming kingdom to be read every sabbatical, that is, every 7 years, at the Feast of Tabernacles? We read about this in Deuteronomy 31, verses 9 through 11. So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before Yahweh your Elohim in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. There is indeed a special blessing and a spiritual blessing in partaking of this physical experience and privilege, these lasting ordinances and instructions will be done in the kingdom that is coming. So it is important that those called, in other words, those who are the first fruits, who will rise in the first resurrection, to be future teachers, priests or priestly kings in the kingdom, learn them now. Question number seven. Did Israel ever pollute Yahweh's appointed times so that he even rejected calling them his anymore? And the answer is in Isaiah 1, verses 12 through 14. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity, sin, and the sacred meeting. Verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. In Amos 5, verses 21 through 24, this is Yahweh speaking through Amos. I hate, I despise your feasts, your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Yahweh is condemning the feast days of man, those which are contrary to and different from the ways that Yahweh has put in his Torah. It is important to understand why we attend Sabbath services and other appointed times, other holy convocations that Yahweh has put in place to meet with his people. In many respects, they are rehearsals of what is to come. Of course, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the sheaf wave offering, and the Day of Pentecost are days that Yahshua has fulfilled. And when he returns, he will fulfill the remainder of them. He will fulfill the Day of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. Ultimately, we must be focused on Yahweh and Yahshua to be there for them, not just to have fellowship with others of like mind. And the world does this. There's social occasions, going to Sunday worship. If we put Yahweh and his righteous ways first, following Yahshua, then we will not be taken away in the error of false teachings that corrupt true worship and affects how Yahweh looks upon us. His appointed times are to be kept in the manner of his instructions, in the manner of his Torah. Question number 8. Did Yahshua actually teach at the Feast of Tabernacles? In John 7, verse 2, we read, "Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand." And then moving down to verse 14 of John 7, "Now about the middle of the feast, Yahshua went up into the temple and taught." Did Yahshua the Messiah observe the last great day, referred to as the eighth day in Leviticus 23? And we find that in John 7, verses 37 to 39. "On the last day, that great day of the feast." And when we look up the word great in Greek, we find that it also can mean high. So it would not be an error to translate this, "On that last day, that high day of the feast, Yahshua stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yahshua was not yet glorified." And I'm sure that you recall that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples there in Jerusalem at the temple received the Holy Spirit and were able to go out into the world then to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and preach the evangel. The evangel which Paul speaks of as having been given to those at Mount Sinai. But without faith, they were not able to do them without the Spirit inside of them. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3. "Then Yahshua spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, 'The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say, but they do not do.'" And there are some scholars who are saying that the word "they" in the phrase "therefore whatever they tell you to observe" is actually a mistranslation from the Hebrew Matthew, which they say really says, "Therefore whatever he," being Moses, "tells you to observe, that observe and do." It's not a salvational issue, but it's interesting. So what did we learn from lesson 13 in reading the scriptures about the Feast of Tabernacles? We learned the following. A tabernacle is best defined today as a temporary dwelling. The Feast of Tabernacles is symbolic of leaving Egypt and the future thousand-year reign. Scripture tells us to save a second tithe so that we can afford to attend the feasts. Tabernacling with other brethren is a joyous time, which includes numerous biblical messages and studies, recreational and fun activities, and fellowshipping with future saints. The last chapter of Zechariah gives prophetic warning to anyone not willing to keep the feast. The disobedient Israelites of old polluted Yahweh's feast, so he used the term your feasts. And this term applies to today, as well, when we celebrate the feasts of mankind. Yahshua, we learn also spoke on the last great day, scripturally the eighth day, or the day of the White Throne Judgment. The first day, High Sabbath, of the Feast of Tabernacles is determined by counting 14 days from the seventh new moon. Keeping this feast is a great time to fine-tune our focus on spiritual matters, on Yahweh and his coming kingdom, and upon Yahweh's righteousness. We learn to be teachers and priests in the coming kingdom, and we should learn by attending the feast today. The Feast of Tabernacles points toward a millennial rule when defiance will be put down, disobedience will be swiftly dealt with, and Yahshua will rule with a rod of iron. And we might add, he will rule most definitely by the law of Yahweh. There is one high day. During the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles lasts for 7 days. We are presently supposed to keep the Feast of Tabernacles wherever Yahweh chooses. When Yahshua returns to rule during the 1,000-year reign, he will come in all power and glory of Yahweh's kingdom. We learned that Yahshua will return to earth before the millennium, with the wrath of Yahweh, and seemingly supernatural signs in the sky will precede Yahshua's return. Seemingly supernatural signs. These are signs that are given by Satan to lure us away. The Feast of Tabernacles is not only a commemoration of how Israel lived in the past, nor is it only for ancient Israelites and modern-day Jews, but it is a time to forget the past and fellowship with the brethren. We learn that the Feast of Tabernacles is an appointed time to occur after the fall harvest, so the Israelites would remember to thank Yahweh for what was harvested. The type of authority that will be used in governing during the kingdom is a kingship. We'll have a king who will be Yahshua the Messiah. The Feast of Tabernacles is the third in a list of 3 sojourning feasts. The other 2 are the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Day of Pentecost. This concludes our study of the Feast of Tabernacles. Next time, we will delve into the last great day, the eighth day, the Day of the White Throne Judgment. And I would add, may we find ourselves in obedience to Yahweh. May we hold fast to our faith in Yahshua, keeping Yahweh's commandments until Yahshua returns and we see, from the standpoint of our eternal frames, the judgment of the wicked and the gathering of the righteous into the kingdom of Yahweh and beyond. Hallelujah.